Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to another hour of Discernment Fellowship. And this morning we're going to be reading James 1 and James 2. And I'm going to start the broadcast out with Psalms 8. Okay, it's keying up. Okay, we're having a little technical problem here. So, good morning, Kevin, and good morning. It's Gary, excuse me. Good morning, Gary. But you can't talk right now because I can't unkey you. Broadcast. Oh, yep. Well, and good morning.
Can always read it.
Kevin. But I can't hear you here, Kevin, yet, because I can't undo. Well, listen. Okay. That
Psalm
works.
8.
Okay.
To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Praise God. Well, good morning, Gary and Kevin.
Hi, good morning, Walt.
Good morning, Walt.
And we have John's here, and Chris is here, and Carol's here.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Chris.
You know, I want to share something this morning. When I first started this broadcast, you know, I wanted to read The Trappings of Popery by Sean Wilcox. And before I even thought about talking about this little book, you know, I have a lot more discernment, I mean, of what I'm going to suggest to somebody, you know. And The Trappings of Popery, I read this book. Was really, he didn't write it as a book. He wrote it as pamphlets, and then he put it together after he'd written different. So each chapter was a pamphlet, but the last one was Popery in the Heart. And I'm not going to read it, but I think I could read it in about 3 or 4 minutes. But I'm going to practice it so it's real clear. But I think everybody would enjoy the last chapter, Popery in the Heart. And because another thing that really stuck out of my mind in this last couple of weeks is I believe it was Gary, when we talk about the Catholic Church, it's the Roman Catholic Church. And there's a real good reason for calling it Roman, because instead, I mean, in other words, because it's not just a church, it's a state. And so that's really stuck out, because you can really go down the wrong path by not understanding, by not calling it a Roman Catholic Church. See, I mean, so anyway, we're going to start with James 1, but I did want to say, everybody, you can read this book by just going to the Grand Design Exposed and go down on the button at the bottom, you know, there's a picture of the book, and just click on it, and there's a PDF file. So, and also,
thank you.
I've got,
thank you, Walt.
Yeah, and I've got one printed for you, Carol. So, so when I see you next, I'll give you this book. Okay, we're going to start with James chapter 1. I thought we just review it real quick. We started last on Friday, but we'll just play it, and then we'll finish off the chapter. Okay.
The General Epistle of James, Chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Verse 5, you know, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I mean, you know, there's a, if we don't, especially in the age we live in the times and with all the media and stuff, we have to have, you know, we have to ask God for the discernment to see through all this. And I think my biggest weapon we have is prayer, you know.
Yeah, I know.
So we covered the first 12 chapters on Friday. So this is 13 through 27.
Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of firstfruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
I like that word engrafted in verse 21. That, like with the plant life, you tie a plant to another plant, and then in time you come up with a different plant. And so, as we take the word of God and apply it to our lives, and we begin to walk in it and speak in it, it becomes us, and we grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I didn't see that word, but it's right there. I mean, in other words, if we practice and keep it,
mm-hmm.
keep our minds
mm-hmm.
in the, you know,
mm-hmm.
it goes back to the 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And,
mm-hmm.
and it's real easy to go to the emotions and blame if you're in the faith of Christ and you know you're not going to
mm-hmm.
be if you stay engrafted in the word.
Well, you know.
This last part is so prevalent and to what we need in the times we live in, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow
mm-hmm.
to wrath. It's so easy to get sucked in. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why it's important to listen to people and let them speak their mind, and then you begin to read their spirit. You can see what they can bear of what you would say to them or not. And then you tailor your speech to them according to their ability to receive it. And they show themselves in their conversation where they're at and what they can take. Some are very open to the word of God. When you speak the scriptures to them, they're very eager to hear it. And others, they're not.
You know, that pure religion is this, to visit the fatherless, you know, and so forth. These churches today, they don't do anything. They'll, you know, you may sing, go in there, sing a song, hear a false thing on a verse, and all they want is money.
Yes.
Kings. It just makes me sick.
Mm-hmm.
And this 95% of churches out there. And boy, they fill up the rafters. I mean, nice for the people.
Yeah, is there
pure religion there? Pure religion there?
No, that's right.
Hate to be so critical, but
the last of that verse is, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. See, it's not to get sucked in. It's so easy to drop your guard, and it's kind of and Satan plays on that you know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any of us getting sucked in, any of this group here and a lot of others getting sucked into a Calvary Chapel abomination.
No, that's right.
But one thing, every one of us here is in a fallen state, and that's why we have to focus on the Word and the faith of Christ, because it's so, that's what I mean. It's so easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to just jump in on and you'd be better off most of the times if you just stop and hear and kind of decipher what's going on instead of trying to enter into the debate.
There you go.
Because we couldn't even, I don't think we could even get into the parking lot. But we'd have to.
Yeah. And most of those people that are in those large churches, they want to be like the pastor, because they believe that the pastor is being blessed in prosperity and material wealth, and they want that too. So, but they're not even thinking that it's their money that's providing his wealth. You know, and as they keep giving him money, they get poorer and poorer. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
And it takes the money.
Go ahead,
Kevin. Excuse me.
Well, it's almost like buying a lottery ticket. You know, just throwing your money away, hoping that you're gonna hit the jackpot someday. You know, it's ridiculous.
Get the jackpot or these fake preachers.
Go ahead, Walt.
Well, I was just kind of reading ahead to the next chapter. It's good. I mean, you know, I feel blessed too. Because give me an example yesterday, and he might be listening. His name is Henry Telford, and he lives in England. And he sent me an email, and he's been listening. And I had a nice little conversation with him. And but he had a cousin or something coming over, and so, you know, but it was a real blessing, you know, and especially when you meet somebody, it's time, you know, it's to me now it's an exciting time, but I just want to hear, you know,
yeah,
you want to,
right, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. you know, it's yeah, but mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm going to invite him someday. I can send him an invitation, see, and he can talk. he can join us.
That's great.
He could, you know.
That's great. Very good.
Yeah. Well, let's go to chapter two. There's so much in here that I see for, you know, when I look at the, you know, inside, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It says 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing too, you have to when the phone rings or you go downtown or you go into the bank or wherever you go, you gotta have that full armor on. You gotta be prepared. You can't be, you know, it's really easy to push somebody over. If somebody doesn't see you coming from the back, it doesn't take much of a push to knock somebody over if he's not ready. But if you're ready, you've got the armor on, you know, you've got to be ready for that surprise. So I'll play chapter two. This is chapter two here. It's verses 1-12 in Second James.
Chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name, by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty.
I understand in verse 6, the word draw there is the same word that's used in John 6:44, unless the Father draw him. In other words, here we see that these poor people go to court because the rich drag them to the court. And it's a matter of bringing. They don't volunteer to come to the court. They're taken to the court. And so it is in our conversion. We are translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. It's something that God does to his elect. It's not anything they do or would you even imagine to do. Praise the Lord. And also, you know, the parable of the wedding feast, when they went out into the hedges and the highways to get those, it said compel them to come in to the feast. The first ones were invited, but they all refused for one reason or another. And that's the natural man. He'll always say no to the invitation to get, surrender to Christ and to come to his wedding feast. So they go to the highways, and it's a picture of the Gentiles now being called in. And it says, compel them to come in. In other words, bring them. Don't ask them, you know, ask them. Don't ask them if they want to come.
They're taken by authority.
Yes, yes, yes.
To be compelled.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with us. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. We were put on the narrow straight path.
We weren't looking for it. We were taken.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Yeah.
Praise God. Yeah.
Because if we knew at the beginning of our Christian life, what the Christian life would actually be like, and what we would endure and suffer in temptation and persecution, we wouldn't want any part of it. It'd be too uncomfortable to the flesh. And so the Lord shows us little by little, and praise the Lord. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes this can be misconstrued and kind of forgotten about but what doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him?
Mm-hmm.
One of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, in verse 21, of course, did we get there yet? No, I don't think we got there yet.
No.
But when we get to it, I'll wait for the comment when we get there.
I was going to say that again, I can't help it. I just slam these fake churches, you know, but they they bring them in and they, you remember years ago when we were all younger, you know, a lot younger, the churches really did the work that the state is trying to do for welfare systems and so forth. But the church would feed the hungry soup kitchens and give them the gospel, and they needed something, you know, and they truly would, to a certain extent. If they were cold, they'd, you know, give them a jacket or whatever, you know, their needs were. They try and, well, the state tries to play that role and fails miserably. All the money that goes to those endeavors are skimmed off the top by the politicians or what have you, powers and be. But again, it's just I see so much hypocrisy in the churches today.
Yeah,
just a fake gospel. Yeah. You know, just give money.
Yeah, right. That's right.
And then they'll use Malachi, you know, the false understanding of the tithe.
Yeah.
Give 10%, you know, and actually,
right.
We're the tithe that Christ brings into the storehouse. It's not to do with money at all.
I see that I got ahead here too. So I'm going to key up the 13 to 26, and then we'll discuss that.
For he shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yet a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
But this has to be the underlying theme. It has to be a faith not of your own. It's a gift of God.
And the faith of Christ.
It has to be the faith of Christ given to us. And so anybody in these liberal churches can come around and say, well, see, you have faith. Just work it. And you'll prove. And you'll prove yourself to your neighbor by doing good works.
And if we practice the full armor, and whatever we do, it's not us. It's the faith of Christ. It's that moves.
Right.
That's moves us.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, because Abraham, when God told him to leave Ur of the Chaldees, leave his kindred. He could have said, well, I believe you, Lord, but unless he did it, he wouldn't show a true faith. So faith, the reformers had an expression that said, we are saved by faith, but not a faith that is alone. We are saved by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. So it has to be accompanied by works. And that proves that the faith is genuine.
Well, works are a testimony to your faith.
Yeah,
saved faith of Christ.
Right.
As lots of people that go do all kinds of good works, and the Lord will tell them you never knew.
Yes.
Yeah, we go back to verse 5 in the first chapter, and it's talking about if you lack wisdom, ask. But you have to ask with the faith that was given to you.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the wavering. Are you asking in faith, or are you asking in the flesh? You can't be double-minded. You can't be wavering when you ask of God.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
You're not in, you know, when you're in the flesh, you're not in works.
Right. I am.
That's something that I just said. When you're in the flesh, you're not in works. That's kind of bounced around in my head thinking about that, you know.
Yeah, I like that verse that says the Lord doesn't delight in the feet of man, or man running, doing this and that. You know, it has to be the leading of the Holy Spirit for the saint to be working a work that is acceptable to God, because it's wrought by the Spirit of God that indwells us. He prompts us, he motivates us, and he empowers us to do the work that was foreordained that we should walk in it. You see, right. That's why we're not too hasty, right? We don't do everything that comes to our mind, because we could think of a lot of things that we'd like to do, or even think that God would be glorified in it, but in fact, he wouldn't be. So it's men should pray always, you know, without ceasing.
Right, and be still. Yeah. Well, it's one thing I see in all through James is something that this is, you know, something that God is teaching us through the Holy Spirit. You know, to practice this. This is on a day to day basis. We face this on, you know.
Yes. Well, you remember when Jesus sent them out two by two? He told them not. He said, "Be careful, you don't salute any man." And I take that to mean not to be beholden to anyone. Not to let anybody waylay you or sidetrack you from what your purpose and your mission is. Don't be distracted by anybody saying this or that. Don't salute any man. We don't give tribute to anybody except, you know, to give to Caesar what is his and to God's what is God's. But the Christian life is all about being on the Great Commission. And not to be entangled, you know. It talks about the servant not entangling himself in the affairs of this life, and it is a daily thing. But when we pray and we ask God to guide us and to give us the wisdom in the choices we make, then you know we don't see much that we regret, you know. We see whatever we do, we know it was intentioned of God that we do it or not. You know. How do you see that, Chris, about be careful you don't salute any man? or John, if you have a comment on that. Do you remember that passage? Anybody? Gary, you got anything?
When you salute,
we're not to be respecters of persons.
Ah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, because like in the military, you salute an officer, and he's superior to you. And I think, and like Chris just said, not to be a respecter of persons, thinking that anybody is superior to us, because we're the king's kid, you know. Who can be superior to that, right?
Right.
I think you're right, Kevin, about the Great Commission is really, when you get down to it, it's the only real work in view here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go do good works and try to help people and stuff like the church is used to when they were normal, not today.
Yeah. Right.
They just want to
get it. Right. Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, it's going out. And this group, I know this group's faithful. It has the truth. I rarely see that elsewhere.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, well, we're the only one that have truth. Of course not. There's a remnant saved by grace.
Right.
And there's a
number
in count, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems so thin.
Yeah. Well, you know, I heard somebody say on my Facebook posting, they said they were singing the song "When the Saints Go Marching In," and someone said, I sure hope I'm one of that number. And he said, I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying to serve God. And I thought, you know, you need to get your mind on what God has already done in electing the number. It's fixed and established. And there's nothing you can do. There's no work you can do to get on the list. You know, so it turns your mind to God rather than away from yourself, which is the proper way to see it.
And also, when we use the word works, we're talking too of something physically.
Mm-hmm.
See, like we're right now. We can't there's only so much that we can do. We can share over the telephone. It's the next best thing to being in person with somebody, but it's not like being right there with in person with anybody. And it's so easy, the word salute. Yeah, when you salute in the army, you know, it was always your superior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our knees should only bend to Jesus Christ, not to man.
That's good. Like
you
Mordecai.
Know,
he wouldn't bow to Haman.
Though I respect people that can do something better than myself, or I have respect, but in other words, there's a difference between idolizing it's real easy, and this has been a long time coming with me, is when you pick up a book that a man has written, is, you know, he's just another man like you. I haven't wrote a book, but I'm no different than the man that wrote the book.
Yeah,
you know, when it comes down
we speak the book,
that's
book,
right,
the last of all books.
It's the book, you know. I know it takes a lot of time to write books, gather information,
right,
and such. But there's errors in man's books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it actually, what happens is it's taken a long time with me, but it's freed me. It's kind of free because I, you know, my knees don't bow to any man just because he wrote a book.
Right. Sure. Well, that's right.
And when we're reading, like in James here too, is our how we conduct ourselves, and in other words, you have to practice the faith of Christ.
Amen. That's good. Yeah.
You know, you can't think about it one day and just forget about it the next day. And it's just like, you know, I mean, I was sharing before the broadcast started, you know, I got a little crick in my, the way I sit at this desk, in other words, and, you know, I mean, we're so fragile. Mm-hmm. We're so fragile. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, in other words, and we got to stay you know, we're in the flesh. I mean, I'm not, in other words, we need air. Yeah. I mean, you know, we need warmth.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
And so what happens when the warmth takes? This is when our knees. We need to learn how to immediately learn how to be still and rest in Christ.
Yeah. That's right. It's when our flesh is comfortable. That's when the danger of falling into the flesh and away from the spirit.
Because
Peter wasn't in the room with John, with Jesus, when he was taken to that kangaroo court that night. And Peter was outside warming himself at the enemy fire. And just being comfortable, he wanted to stay comfortable by denying Jesus. He thought that would give him some relief, you know, from what might come if he was exposed. So, yeah, we just don't want to get too comfortable in the flesh. And when we do, we realize the awakening to sin that's so prevalent in us, in our flesh nature, which we already have, you know. So it's a warfare. We're always struggling. But the Spirit wins
over.
Yeah,
Peter.
Yeah. We're more than conquerors through him. Yeah.
Peter.
Amen. Go ahead.
Peter was overwhelmed by fear.
Yes, yes.
That was part of the reason he denied Christ.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
I thought verse 8 of James 2, I thought verse 8 was, you know, was good. You know, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, the royal law. But it also mentions in verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And then it talks about adultery and killing. You know, it's still okay to kill or commit adultery. Even though Christ, you know, died for his elect on the cross, it's still not okay to do certain things.
Right. Yeah.
You know, adultery and killing, you know, it's still part of the, even though the Ten Commandments are not, weren't given directly to the Gentiles, you know, even after Jesus died on the cross, there's still some part of the commandments that you can't, you know.
Yes. Right. Yeah, we're told clearly in the New Testament, in the epistle letters, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every man or every woman have her own husband. So these are commandments that we are to keep as Christians, but none of them are binding on our eternal life. In other words, if we were to break them, it wouldn't affect our eternal security that we have by the work of Christ to justify us before the Father. But it does affect our fellowship with God in our present Christian walk. Yeah. And we bring chastening to ourselves if we don't judge ourselves in these things. Yeah.
It was interesting that at the beginning of James, the audience is the 12 tribes which are scattered.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he would have to be writing to the elect of the nation of Israel, right?
Yeah, and
some people will say that so therefore whatever James is writing is pertaining to Israel alone, but that's not true. That's not true.
This is considered right. a general epistle, which means it's Catholic. It's for the whole church. It's for the universal church.
Beautiful. Yeah.
It's not just for Israel. For Jewry. Yeah, for the Hebrews. It's for the church. It's for us. And
yes. The Israel of God.
Yeah, the Israel of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, the elect think of themselves, some of the elect think of themselves as Gentiles, but, you know, we can't really go back to the bloodlines and prove that, you know, some of us could be from the 12 tribes as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not important. And it's not important. The genealogy is of the flesh.
No,
it's not important.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
there are groups that make a big deal about British Israelite theories and stuff. There may be some truth in that, but it's a vain pursuit. It breeds racial pride. That's what it does. Yeah.
Is it possible that
the Worldwide Church of God, Armstrong.
Yeah.
What's the
Shepherd's Chapel?
They teach it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they probably got it from him.
Maybe so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible.
Is it possible that the 12 tribes could be a spiritual thing instead of physical, the 12 tribes?
Well, you got to remember, 10 were eliminated. Only 2 survived and came back from the captivity.
Yeah,
that's right.
Judah and Benjamin. Those were the only 2.
Right.
I guess some of the Levites.
Of course, there was more than 12, wasn't there? Didn't Joseph, wasn't he given 2? That would make it 13.
Yeah, they weren't counting the Levites. I believe the Levites traveled around between both places.
They had
no inheritance. Were Levites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know that there were Levites. Oh, in the AD.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So God did was, I think he... if I'm not mistaken, I think he divided the sons of Joseph into 2 half tribes, and then he didn't give the land. The land wasn't given to the Levites.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, because half the tribe of Manasseh was on the other side of the river.
Yeah.
Remember, they took the land before they entered the land of Canaan, and then the other half was in the land of Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all a spiritual thing. What was the seventh child, the daughter? What was her name? Was that Deborah? Not Deborah.
Dinah.
Dinah. Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah, she's the completion. There's something about her name, and there's 6 brothers.
Mhm.
What was the paper you and I read on that? Who wrote that paper you and I read, Kevin?
About Dinah?
About Dinah, yeah.
I just don't remember.
We just read it about a month ago.
That was Dinah and Shechem.
You're right. Yes. Yeah. And I think Shechem had he was well disposed in his intentions. You know,
after he took her, he wanted to marry her.
Yeah. It was Simeon and Levi that went out and killed the men while they were recovering from their circumcision.
Yeah.
Boy, that was a cold move. Yeah. Hmm. But then after that Jacob called his children and he told them to take off their strange clothing and their jewelry and their nose rings and everything. In other words, they were being conformed to the heathen around them. And Jacob saw that with his daughter Dinah that ended up with Shechem.
What was the wording that she went out? She went out to look at the children that she was living amongst.
Yeah, to see the daughters. To see the daughters.
Oh yeah. How they looked.
Yes. Yeah. And
yeah,
to the eyes.
Kind of like Lot, you know, the ditch is
yeah.
And then. Eventually got right in there into Sodom, you know.
Sure,
and
sure.
And the Shechemites were heathens, and
yes.
She wanted to see what they were about, and she got a little closer, and she got there, and he took her.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's like Eve with the fruit in the garden. It was attractive. It was appealing to her. By sight, and the
where
world
was
is attractive.
Adam?
Yeah. Hmm?
Yeah. Where was Adam? He wasn't taking care of his wife, was he?
Yeah, I don't think he was there with her. Otherwise, I think he would have spoken up and stopped her. But
he was busy naming the animals.
Yeah.
Every animal on the planet had to present itself to him, and he gave it a name.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was concurrent though. I don't know what he was doing. He should have been minding his wife.
Well, he was minding his kingdom.
Yeah, he let her wander around on her own.
he lost his kingdom.
And
yeah,
that's what happens. But that's
he
what
took
happens
us all
with women.
Him.
Yeah. Yes, right. But women leave the natural use of being at home, you know, homemakers and raising the children. They go into the marketplace to wheel and deal with men, you know. And
more
it's
so
very dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's a real problem.
It won't get better.
No.
You know, we were talking about not respecting, you know, looking up to men and idolizing men, and it's right. It goes back to chapter one. It says, and it's a sin. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're coming up to the hour here, and let's finish chapter 3 and chapter 4, and it's only, might even, we'll just see how we go tomorrow, and we might finish James tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there anybody, any closing comments? That's a
Well, we thank the Lord for Bible teaching churches that are still are around. You know, there are little fellowships here and there that are trying to do it right and stay faithful to the Word, and I thank God for that and for those that join with those people, such as ourselves. Thank God.
You know, and you know, my prayer is in chapter 3. It's going ahead, but it's verse 16. It says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is formed." But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You know, especially in the age we live in, it's, you know, in fact, I just feel blessed that we can sit here and discuss the Word of God, and there's not one of us that are trying to lead the group. The faith of Jesus, the faith of Christ is our leader.
Amen.
And that goes back, to the 8th verse of chapter 2. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The wisdom of God, you know.
That's, yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to close it down. We'll be here tomorrow at the same time for another hour of discernment.
Thanks, Walt.
At 9 o'clock.
Hey, Walt.
Yeah.
Walt, I have a question.
Sure.
I was trying to listen to the last program on chapter 17 of John, or maybe it was 18 or something, but I couldn't open it. It wouldn't open, and Gary couldn't open it either. So I don't know if there's a problem with that.
Okay. Yeah. I'll check on my end. Of course, you guys
yeah,
check
yes.
the computers.
Right. Yeah.
And,
I'll look in the archive. Was that John 18, Gary, that we tried to open? I forgot. I think it was John 18.
Well, I'll open chapter 17 and 18 and see if I can listen to it.
We hit the cursor on the button and nothing happened. So, okay, thanks for looking into that.
Okay. We'll see everybody tomorrow.
Sure. God bless.
God
bless. Have a good day, brother.
Hey, brothers.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And sisters.
And sisters, yeah.